This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to be interviewing Charlaine Harris, and you might have heard of her, two of her series that are on television. She's a New York Times best-selling author, and her series based on her books Aurora Tea Garden are very popular now on Hallmark Channel, and I think just about every weekend you can see at least one rerun of Aurora Tea Garden, a very fun mystery program. And then, of course, her other books were picked up and based on her character Suki Stackhouse, and it became the inspiration for the HBO hit drama True Blood. So stay tuned for that, and that'll be at the bottom of the hour when we get connected with New York City. But meanwhile, I want to talk about a wonderful, wonderful time I had this weekend, and it reminded me of something so important. I went to Barnes & Noble, and, you know, I think one of the things that is most important to my life was the fact that my boys love books, and that we were inspired by so many wonderful books. And when we lived in Texas, one of the things that we used to do is when they were little, the first place we would go for a treat, whenever they wanted a treat, would be to Barnes & Noble. And it was just the memories of that, of seeing the joy in their eyes when we'd step into a store. It was so magical. My oldest boy, David, would just go around the stacks and the bookshelves, and he'd just rub his hand on them. Even when he was little, he wanted to read all the big books. And it wasn't too long before he actually was, because the fact is I didn't know when I had children that I wasn't supposed to teach them how to read. And so early on, I was teaching them to read. So they read at a very early age, but that's because I read to them every night before they went to bed. And of course, my husband did too, which was a lot of fun. We spent so many hours reading to them. And as I said, one of the things that we did for all sorts of, whether it was a birthday, whether it was just doing something wonderful, they would always get a treat of going to the bookstore. And Daniel, my youngest boy, spent one whole summer in a competition to read as many books as he could for the summer book contest. And now he was 5 years old at the time. No, four and a half years old at the time. And he read 434 books. Now, some of them were easy books, but many were quite advanced, because by the time he was five, he was reading Hardy Boys. So you can imagine what it was to read 434 books. But he just had so much fun, and we just spent hours and hours in the bookstore. And those are the memories that children cherish so much, and that you will cherish when you grow older and you look back at their childhood. Now, Barnes & Noble is a fantastic place, and nothing replaces a brick-and-mortar store. You cannot get that same feeling, that same magic, that same thrill by looking at a website. And children particularly need that inspiration of just being around the books and the magic that every book is filled with something that they want to know. And so I would recommend to every parent, take away the electronic toys and just take yourself to the bookstore. We have Barnes & Noble has some wonderful stores in the area in Clearwater and St. Petersburg. And just go to the bookstore and make it a special treat for the kids. Don't make it a no day, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. Make it a yes day, a day that they can just have fun. And, you know, when you go there and you see the magic in their eyes, when you see the thrill they get. And I would, you know, we weren't rich when my boys were young. And so they couldn't, you know, spend a lot of money, but they would get one book. And that was it, you know, but they'd look around at all the other books or go to the story time. And that was important to them and important to me. And I still have all their books, and we dated them inside when they read them. And so we can go back and look at the dates that they read the books. And it makes you feel so good. And that's why, like, I love to have, like, hardback books, particularly because we wrote inside. The nice thing, one of the things, and I really, I'm so, oh, sad about it, that I did not think at the time, and this is a wonderful thing for you to do, take a picture of your child reading a particular book and just put it inside that book. And 20 years from now, when they go back and look at the books that they read, the books that have their name in it, written in their handwriting when they were 4 years old or 5 years old or 7 years old, and there's a photo of them reading that book. And it is, I have some, but I wish I had done it to every book, because when I go back and look at the books, I can tell by the date what they look like, but I wish I had a photo of them reading that book. So I think that would be just a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. Take a photo of your child reading the book. Now, anyone out there who's going to be buying a Mother's Day gift, and if you're going to buy yourself a Mother's Day gift, I highly recommend, and this is, you know, I read a lot, and of course, as I said, I love hardback books. There's nothing to replace a hardback book, but I do like to read some books on Kindle or Nook, and actually, if I have the choice, Nook is the best, and particularly the Nook Glow Light Plus. This is much better than any other e-reader, and I think you'll really find it just so wonderful to use. Now, it's available at the Barnes & Noble website. It's just $129, and actually I think you can get a discount on it. So it's so wonderful. The great thing about it, the Nook Glow Light Plus, is waterproof. And let's just say, I have been known to spill coffee on things quite often, and so it's just nice to know that if I have my Nook and I have my coffee, I'm not in too much danger. And the nice thing, of course, is you can also take it to the pool. You could even sit in the tub. I'm not that adventurous. I know it is waterproof, and I know that, but I'm clumsy, so I'm not going to take it in the tub, but I like the idea that I could. But you definitely can sit by the pool or sit in the hot tub and read it. And it's just a wonderful design. With that Glow Light Plus, it makes it the easiest reader of all the e-readers out there. And I've checked them all, or probably I have them all. But it's really easy on the eyes. And you can read late at night, you know, in bed next to somebody, and you don't disturb them. And it's a wonderful device. And at $129, it is such a bargain. And the other nice thing about it is that it has a very long battery life. Some of the e-readers are great, but if you run out of battery in the middle of the night and then you have to get up and charge it, you're saying, it's too much hassle. But with the Nook, the Glow Light Nook, you don't have to worry about it. The charge really lasts a long time. And it's just a comfortable, it feels very good in the hand, and I highly recommend it for everybody to look at and to get it. Now, you know, as I was saying, it's available on Barnes & Noble website, which I think is the best book website out there. What I like about the Barnes & Noble website, compared to other places where you can go buy books, is that the Barnes & Noble website is neat. It's clean. You don't have a lot of extraneous stuff that, you know, is put there to grab your eye and try to sell you something that you don't want. The website is nice to look at, easy to navigate. And as I said, the books are well organized, so you can find what you want easily. And it's just a very pleasant website. I resent more and more websites that are cluttered. And as a matter of fact, I've stopped reading some websites that I used to read all the time, simply because I cannot stand that clutter. It's like, you know, a mess for your eyes. It just confuses you. And I think probably parts of it go, the idea, of course, is that some of this extraneous stuff will get into your head and sit in there forever until you do something about it. But I don't want that. If I'm looking for a book, I want to look for a book. I don't want ads for decongestants or whatever. I you get the weirdest things sometimes on some of these websites. So I think the Barnes & Noble website is just a perfect place to go. And of course, particularly now, if you go to the website, you'll notice that there's special discounts here, of course, for Mother's Day. And wonderful books that are available. One of the things, of course, and there's a discount, there's a coupon for a 20% discount, and you can also get free shipping and all sorts of other benefits. You become a member of the their little club. If you become a Barnes & Noble member, you get even more benefits from it. And so there's so many wonderful books out there for moms. I can't even begin to tell you all the wonderful books that I think you should grab onto. One of them is definitely, if you're looking for a book that I think a mother will enjoy, is the... well, you could start with cookbooks. There are cookbooks that are wonderful, and that's a wonderful way to go. There's all sorts of books. If you look at the top front page of the website, they have all sorts of books, Eloisa, James, all sorts of wonderful authors who have books out there that mothers will enjoy. I was looking at the Mary Higgins Clark. If you haven't read Mary Higgins Clark, which I can't imagine anybody not having read Mary Higgins Clark, any woman not having read it, at least one of them, her latest book, As Time Goes By, is right there at the top of the Barnes & Noble list. And I suggest you get that book for a mom. It's just a fun read. Mary Higgins Clark is one of my favorite writers to just... When you want a book that just sort of takes you away, you don't have to worry about the language. You don't have to worry about any extraneous things. You just have a wonderful story. And her latest book, As Time Goes By, is just in that category. And I'm really looking forward. I'm going to be interviewing her next week. And as I said, she's one of my very, very favorite writers and such a fascinating woman. And there's so many... of her books out there that I'm sure that every mother will enjoy. So I suggest you go there and look at that. But meanwhile, I want to go back to the actual stores in our area. We have right here in both in the Clearwater area, St. Petersburg area, we have the wonderful, wonderful stores here. And in Clearwater, it's on US 19 North, 23654 US 19 North. It's a very nice store. And of course, in St. Petersburg, right there opposite Tyrone Mall. And the nice thing about having a real store to walk into, first of all, it's great that they're open on Sunday. So if you're looking for something to do on Sunday, it's just wonderful to have that store available. Go in there, and of course, all of them now have Starbucks. So for parents, you know take something and go and sit in Starbucks and let the kids just have fun. Let them have, you know, of course, I assume that you've taught them good manners and how to behave properly, but they should just be able to sit and look at a book and then pick out a book. And there are lots of nice events at all of the Barnes & Noble stores. So if you look at their website, you'll see different events that are coming up. I know that now tomorrow night, it's a school night, but Barnes & Noble, both in Tyrone Mall and in the Clearwater area, has a Star Wars X-Wing event, and it starts at 7 p.m., and it's basically to celebrate everything Star Wars. Of course, there are lots of books, Star Wars books, that are available, and then at the same time, you can learn to play the new Star Wars X-Wing, and as they say, may the Fourth be with you. And it will be lots of fun for your kids and a great chance for you to share something fantastic with your kids. I know for my husband, one of the things that he most enjoyed doing was to take the boys to the midnight opening of the sale of a Harry Potter book. And they would stand in line, and it was such a fun event. I was never that energetic to be out there at midnight, but he did it, and he would be out there, and they would stand in line, and the boys would be so anxious, and they'd be so thrilled, and then the door would open at midnight, and they'd rush in, and they'd get their book, and do all the fun things that Barnes & Noble always does for kids, all the giveaways and the different, it's just so much fun. They really have a wonderful event planners who really, you know, make these little events for the children so pleasant, and you will enjoy it. So on tomorrow night, May 4th, may the 4th be with you, and take your kids to Barnes & Noble. And then on Friday at the Clearwater store, it's a very special event. They're going to have Catherine Bailey, who is going to be there to launch her latest book, which is a very funny book. It's called Hypnosis Harry, and I'm hoping to have her on my program in a few weeks. I wasn't able to get her so early, but it's a wonderful, wonderful book, and it's really cute, and it's called Hypnosis Harry, and it's what happens when Harry is tired of everybody saying no to him, and he decides to take up a little bit of hypnosis. And it's a fun book, beautiful illustrations, amazing illustrations. And I'm sure you will enjoy that. And that's going to be at 5:30 on Friday at the store up in Clearwater on US 19 North. And then, as I said, having a real store to go to, of course, now they're saying more and more bookstores are coming back because people do need this ability to touch a book, to see a book, because you cannot get an idea of what a book is going to be like from simply looking at a web page. And as I said, of course, particularly Barnes & Noble, they have such a very big community effort always behind everything they do. And one of the things I know that I think it's absolutely adorable that the children on Saturday, May 7th, St. Paul's students will be at the store at 9 a.m., and they have written a book of short stories and fiction and nonfiction, and they put together a book, and they are going to be there to read it and to sign it. And this is the kind of community event that I think is just fantastic for children. And if you, I had to take an Uber last week, and the Uber driver asked me, he asked me what I was doing about my radio show, and I explained, that I one of the things, reasons I do this program is to encourage people to read. And so he was talking about his daughter and saying that, she's 15 years old and she doesn't read enough. She's always, on her iPhone or playing, these games, on the phone, which are, they can be fun for a few minutes, but if they you play these games over and over, repetitive games that really don't stimulate the mind. It's just hours and hours of wasted time. And if you think about it, if a child wastes just an hour a day, I mean, this is a lot of time added up over the year. And of course, they spend much more than that. And whether it's, you know, all of the social media going back and forth, it really doesn't serve much of a purpose. So if you can get your child to be involved in reading, and encourage them to write. I'm really thrilled with this. St. Paul's students who have put together this book. And this is a wonderful project for schools and for different organizations, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. Get the students together and say, let's write a book. And it's so easy nowadays to write, you know, to put it together. And if they write little stories and you get a parent there to edit it and help to organize it and have it printed out. And in this case, of course, these students are going to be at Barnes & Noble at 9 a.m. on Saturday, May 7th. And go out and see the type of thing that they've done. And maybe it will inspire you and your group to put together a book, too, because it's wonderful training. When your child is going to be going for SATs, or applying for any place where they have to write an essay, if they have a background in writing, well, first they need a background in reading so that they know how to write. It really is fantastic. I'm going to take a quick break now, and I'll be back with my guest.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back, and I have my guest on the line from New York. Hi, Charlene Harris.
Hello, Patsy.
Charlene, I'm sorry, Charlene.
Charlene. Yes, Charlene.
How are you?
I'm great, and yourself?
Okay, fantastic. Well, I was going to say that you have two major series on television. Of course, you're a New York Times best-selling author, and you've really made it really big by having two series. Of course, the Sookie Stackhouse novels, which became the inspiration for True Blood, and the Aurora Tea Garden books, which are fantastic and very popular on Hallmark.
I've been very fortunate in my adaptation experiences.
Well, you have been, and you know, I just discovered that now the new series, the Midnight Texas series, that's going to be up for a pilot, right?
It is. They've locked the pilot, and we will find out within the next week or two whether or not NBC's picking it up.
Wow.
So, exciting times.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I always talk to authors, and I say, you know, one of the things, of course, is are you getting a television deal or a movie deal? And the importance about that, of course, is that that just sends your sales skyrocketing.
It does. And that is the good that the writer gets out of it. There's very little other good to get out of it other than the fascinating experience of watching filming, meeting people who can make film. And that is always interesting to watch professionals who can do things that you absolutely cannot do.
And they let you on the set and you can meet all the actors?
Oh, yes, they let me on the set. They're always welcoming and hospitable, but they don't expect me to sit there and go, oh, you did that wrong, or I think I could improve on that. They really don't expect that kind of input.
And they don't want it.
Oh, no, they do not.
Once a book is handed over to a scriptwriter, scriptwriters don't want anything from the author, basically.
No, they don't look back. At the same time, I would not want them to give me input on the next book either.
Exactly.
So I get that.
Yeah, it is a process because I have taken books and written the scripts for them. And very few authors can go from writing the book to the script because it's a completely different talent. You know, you have to have sort of a different mindset.
It's completely different. I've also written a graphic novel, and that, again, is a totally different process from writing a novel. It's just, it's got, you have to look at it different, you have to script it different. It was just a big learning experience for me.
Well, the new book, which is called Night Shift, a novel of Midnight Texas, is this the third in the series?
It is.
I thought it was going to be a trilogy, but I have a feeling it's taking off into something longer.
You know, I intended it to be a trilogy always. I left a couple of trapdoors open in case I decide to write a fourth book. I loved the characters, and I really enjoyed the process of writing the book. So it's not unthinkable.
Yeah,
that I would write another one.
And definitely, now if you're getting a television deal, it's not the last one. I had a feeling when I was reading it that, she's left enough there that she can really pick up on it and keep going for a while.
Yes, if I was still interested. I've learned the Sookie series went on so long, and I found out that I wasn't well-suited to running a very long series.
Well, that was, 14 books or something like that? That was a long...
13, yeah.
Oh, what, 13,
it was long.
That was a lot of your life. Yeah, but
it was. My youngest child grew to maturity while I was writing those books. And, of course, my publisher would have been happy if I'd kept on writing them forever.
Oh, yeah.
But there comes a point where you find out you're not excited about starting the next book, and you think, okay, it's time to draw this to a close.
And so you came out with the Midnight Texas idea, and which is it's different, that's for sure. It started with which one was Midnight Crossroad was the first one?
Midnight Crossroad
was
right.
The first one, and of course it is a supernatural mystery. How else would you describe it? Where did you get the idea for it?
Well, I didn't want to write another first-person narrative. I wanted to challenge myself by writing something that was not the same process as I used in the Sookie novels. I wanted to write multiple points of view, some of them being male, because that would be different for me. I think you really have to challenge yourself and keep yourself excited about new projects. And that was what I decided I would do. It would, turned out to be, if I had known how hard that was going to be, I might not have done it. But I really wanted to change my style for a while. So it is multiple points of view, which was quite difficult. But I get to tell a bigger story that way.
And it's a big story. You really create a universe in this little area of the world of Midnight Texas. I know that.
Well, thank you.
Readers are will find that it's such a complete idea. You've expanded on you know each of the characters as you've gone along, and of course made it a very very intriguing story.
Well, thank you. I like to think that all these years have taught me a little bit, though. Gosh, writing is always hard work, no matter how many books you've written.
And of course, the main character. I mean, we're talking about a vampire here. So, have you always been interested in vampires? I mean, where did you get interested in vampires? Because it's so much different from, you know, the Aurora Tea Garden series that you started off with.
Well, I like to challenge myself. I like to write different genres, and I like to write different characters. It's not so much the vampires. It's the whole supernatural world and tying it into our world in a realistic way. That's the challenge, and that's what I enjoy. Lemuel is a very different kind of vampire. He's very territorial, and there are no other vampires within a large circle of land around him. In that way, he's very different from the vampires in the world of Sookie. And also, he is an energy-sucking vampire who can also operate on blood, but he likes to take energy from people. And I thought about that, and it just seemed like it would be more interesting to write if he could do that. And it's interesting that you see him as the main character, because to me, he is not the main character.
Well, to me, he was the main character. I think everything sort of centers around him in the end, you know. So,
I guess I was thinking about the totality of the books rather than just the third one. And probably in the third one, he does play more of a role.
Yeah, definitely. And now, some of the characters were crossed over from other books?
Yes, many of them. Uh-huh. Not Lemuel, but...
No, I know. Not...
Bobo Winthrop was from my Shakespeare books. Manfred Bernardo was from the Harper Connelly books. Quinn was from the Sookie Stackhouse books. It was lots of fun to see them again.
And to make them into main characters in the new stories.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to find out what they were like after their time had passed and see what had become of them. They've especially Bobo has changed quite a lot in the intervening years.
So what was the first impulse to do the vampire? Was it from reading Anne Rice, or from where did the idea come from? Because I'm intrigued by this great interest in vampires nowadays. I just was at a writer's meeting, and a young writer did a major vampire tour of England, and she went from event to event where they were having vampire sort of live events, and she's turning this into she's writing a short a novel about it, but she's also writing a diary of her going from one city to another where they had vampire events. What you know, how did you get with this idea in the first place?
Well, quite some time ago, probably 17 years ago, I'd always wanted to write something supernatural, whether ghosts or werewolves or what have you. When I started thinking about Sookie Stackhouse, I was thinking about a woman who was trying to date outside her own species. And it occurred to me that probably she would be dating a vampire. So I had to build the whole world around that. She is the center of the books. The vampires are subsidiary characters, but they play a main role in the story. So I had to create their whole world as it affected her world. And I figured they would be trying to blend into today's society. And from that, everything just kind of snowballed.
Well, you have created a very definite universe for these characters. I mean, they are in many ways unlike some of the other books, because you have a lot of details of what they're like.
Well, thank you. I try to not write the same book over and over.
And you know, by the way, I love that name. When I first read Sookie Stackhouse, I just loved it. I thought it was just the perfect name. I don't know where you came with Sookie Stackhouse, but I love that name.
Oh, thank you. It took me a long time to establish her name. A lot of thought.
Because it's the kind of name that just people will always remember. Well, like Aurora Tea Garden, which is another great name. So you must like really spend time, you know, most authors really, it's so many times now I've noticed over and over authors are having names that are almost alike. And I, you know, reading as many books as I do, I get confused who the character was. So I always appreciate an author who is able to not just create the character, but create the name that goes with that character so perfectly that you can't imagine them being named anything else.
Well, that's a great compliment, because I do spend a lot of time trying to name my characters so that they're not easily confused and so that they're distinctive.
Well, like Lily Bard, that's a great name too.
Oh, thanks. I'm feeling all rosy now.
Well, yeah, let's talk for a moment about your Shakespeare. How did you get involved with that? Why, are you a great fan?
Well, I was taking karate at the time, uh-huh. And I wanted to use that experience in books. So I started thinking about a really strong woman who was taking karate to prove something to herself and to be sure she could always defend herself. And her character gradually formed with those strictures on it. I really liked writing Lily. She doesn't have much of a sense of humor, so that was a little bit of a trial for me. But I like her determination to make a life for herself, and I really like her determination to stand on her own.
Well, she is a very distinctive character, and as I said, the name suits her, and it's just really great.
Thank you.
Did you get your black belt?
No, I was terrible at it. just because I enjoyed it doesn't mean I was good at it. I like to play volleyball too, but I'm awful. But it was a really interesting and challenging part of my life, and I enjoyed every class.
So do you do a lot of research into where's your research going?
Well, it odd things I have to research. I have to research when the sun comes up at a certain time of year in Texas. I had to look into safety glass. I have to look into some guns. I never really know what I'm going to have to research till it comes up. But when it does, I really enjoy learning a little bit more about a lot of different things.
Well, that's the fun thing about being a writer, that you start off with a character, and as they grow, you can grow with them by doing these things. You know, whether it's learning how to shoot a gun or doing karate, they become part of a of the things that you're doing in your real life.
Uh-huh, and that is one of the interesting things. Unfortunately, it's all too easy to get sidetracked in research to the point where you can waste a lot of your work time by following a random thread through the internet.
Oh, yeah, that's dangerous. That's a very dangerous thing to do.
It is.
Now, of course, you were saying that your daughter, through those years, grew up. Do your children read your books?
One of them.
Yeah.
One of them does. The other two don't. I think maybe my oldest son doesn't want to know that much about his mother. And my daughter doesn't read fiction. So that's two of them out of the running. But my middle son does. He reads every book.
Oh, well, that's good. Somebody does. Yeah, because it's sometimes funny how children will react to their parents writing, like, I don't want to know, because, you know, they don't want to see something that they want to correct, and they don't want to you know, say, oh, well, you should have written this, or you should have written that.
Well, that's probably part of it.
Absolutely. I think that happens a lot. Now, when you're it's just, of course, once you got picked up for your first television project, it became easier to get noticed. And I know so many writers who are, as I said at the beginning, that the great thing about being picked up for television is that your sales increase, because it's so difficult nowadays for writers to go out there and to reach an audience and to get their, you know, books sold. And mm-hmm. with your name recognition now, that it's fantastic for you.
It is. I am fully cognizant of how fortunate I am.
And you have
it's all
you
worked
have,
out for the best.
And you have a lot of very loyal fans. And I,
yes, God bless them. I do.
You do. And I know that they follow along and they wait. The nice thing, of course, about the internet and is that people can go. I'm sure when the Aurora Tea Garden programs came out on Hallmark, that everyone went back and bought the old books, the ones, you know, that were out of print or, you know, just on the internet. So it makes it a fantastic opportunity for readers to be able to go back and start at the beginning.
It's wonderful to have my whole backlist available for purchase.
It is.
That is something most writers don't get, and it's just been fantastic.
Now, because this is something I know that my listeners would be intrigued about, is, for example, with the Aurora Tea Garden. Now, you finished that series in 19, I don't remember, I wrote it down somewhere. That was a long time ago that you finished the series.
It was a long time ago.
So do you think now, because it's become so popular, by the way, do you like Candace Cameron?
As a person or as an actress?
Both.
She is certainly a delightful actress, and she has a great fan following. As a person, I don't really know her well enough to judge. She's very nice, very polite, very pretty.
Uh-huh, very pretty.
Very pretty woman. And I understand she's a good mother. I'm always for that. So I really don't know her that well, but I've been really happy with the job she's doing.
Well, I think you should be. I think she really has, made the character her own. And I'm thinking
so
that
too.
She probably will want more. So
I hope so. So they filmed 3 and 4, and those will be on the air. I think the third book will be on the air in June. I don't know about the fourth one, when they're going to air that.
And altogether, there were how many books?
Well, there were 8 books, uh-huh. And I've contracted to write 2 more, the first of which will be out in October.
I knew you'd be going back. The minute I saw the first one on Hallmark, I said, oh, boy, somebody's going back to this character, because it's just a good character. It's a lovely story, very, very well done. I love these mystery stories where they, you know, have a little group and they're working on a mystery. I think it was really inspired writing when you wrote the Aurora Tea Garden books.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I know that they give a lot of pleasure to people who watch it. And I'm just so happy that, you know, I was looking at your website, which, by the way, I should tell people so that if anybody's interested, it is CharlaneHarris.com, right?
Yep, not afraid to be obvious.
That's right. And it's a wonderful website because you have a lot of things there going on. And you talk about, most writers have like what they've published, but you have what you published in 2015. I mean, you publish so much that it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I'm busy.
You are busy. And it's a very nice website. And so I always like to encourage my listeners to go on. And I know that one of the things, of course, you write blogs. So it's very nice to for the writers who are listening to my program to go and to look at your webpage. First of all, it's inspiring when you see how many books you've written. Like, this woman is busy. I mean, like, do you write?
I'm a slacker compared to some other writers, I'll tell you. Heather Graham has written about 300 books.
Oh, my God.
So I don't feel like I'm that prolific, but it's been a long career and I've worked steadily.
So you write every day, I'm sure. I don't have to ask you that. because anybody who's turning out the quantity and the quality of books that you're putting out, because they're very, you know, very comprehensive in the storyline. You don't cheat the reader. So when I tell my listeners, I want them to go and look at your blog posts, because your blog posts are also very interesting, and it's just fun to see how successful you've become, and I know that my listeners will be inspired by your work. And I hope that, you know, this, of course, I'm sure that Night Shift is going to be a great success. And I, as you said, I had a feeling that you'd be writing a fourth one, and probably once it's picked up, a fifth and sixth. So you've got years just to keep the two series going, right?
I hope so.
So it's a lot of fun. And I just want to thank you so much for being on my program today. I think that, you know, what's your advice to writers, besides that they have to write every, you know, that they have to stick to it? What other inspiration can you share with my writers? We lost her? Oh, we lost? Okay, am I on? I'm on, and we lost her. Okay, because she was in New York, and New York studio controls her. So I didn't get to say goodbye, but that's what happens sometimes on radio. Anyway, as I was saying, if you go to her website, you'll find that it's very interesting and that she has quite a fan base. So if you're one of her fans, I'm sure that you will enjoy it. And if you have just recently started watching the Aurora Tea Garden series on Hallmark, go back and get her books. They're available on Barnes & Noble, which I was talking about earlier, because I do want to encourage you to go to Barnes & Noble, both to their website, which I think is fantastic, and also to the bookstore itself. As I mentioned, we have two locations of Barnes & Noble, one on the US 19 and one opposite Tyrone Mall. And coming up, also, I wanted to mention, on Saturday, May 7th, is Mother's Day Story Time. And it's in celebration of Mother's Day. And you can come and read about all sorts of things. And it's just a wonderful thing. So that's going to be at 11 a.m. And it's in celebration of Mother's Day. And read about becoming an expert grandma sitter, in how to babysit a grandma, followed by mom school. In mom school, a little girl imagines where her mom picked up all her amazing skills, like fixing a bike tire and baking cupcakes. So it's a wonderful event, and that's going to be on May 7th at the Barnes & Noble at 11 a.m. And afterwards, the kids get to make cards and just have a fun time sharing the day with their mom. So I highly recommend that you head out to one of the Barnes & Nobles in our area. You will enjoy it. And while you're there, pick up their latest Nook Glow. It's a wonderful device, and one that you will love. So it's a Nook Glow Light Plus, and it's only $129. You can't beat that. And I would like you to think about going there. And then meanwhile, if you're looking for something to do coming up, next weekend is you have to go to the Miami Avenue Wine Bar. And as I mentioned, I'm going to be interviewing quite a few interesting people coming up in the next few weeks, and I hope that you'll be joining me. I'm also going to talk one day to a woman who has specialized in developing publicity campaigns for writers, and she's going to give a lot of advice on how to sort of kickstart your sales. And if you haven't, if you've written a book and you haven't had as big sales as you would like to have had, it's not too late. You can always just start with a completely new program with a bunch of new ideas on how to get out there and set the goals. One of the things that she will talk about is setting goals, whether it's you say to yourself, I'm going to sell 10 books this week, I'm going to sell 20 books this week, or 50 books. It can be done, and there are quite a few writers, independent writers, self-published writers, who have gone out and simply from the back of their car, you know, they're filling their trunk with the books, and they've gone out and done book fests and done street fairs and done all sorts of things to promote their books and to get their name out there. And so it sometimes takes an effort, but I will be talking over the next few months to several writers who have sold 50,000, 60,000, 70,000, even 100,000 books simply by traveling around with their books. And so it's something that you might want to think about doing, and we will talk about it with them as the weeks go by. Meanwhile, I just want to thank everyone for joining me today, and come back on Thursday. Meanwhile, remember to live your life with a lot of kindness and goodness, and just find the joy and share it. And thank you for being here today for Joy on Paper. Bye.